This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله ومصطفاه نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Lessons in Fiqh. We're still studying the chapter that deals with times of prayer. And the hadith we have has the number 134. Hadith narrated by Rafi' ibn Khadij and Brother Nur will read it for us.
Narrated by Rafi' bin Khadij, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, offer the morning prayer at dawn, for it is greater for your reward.
Offer the morning prayer at dawn, for it's greater for your rewards. One would say, okay, then when do you want us to offer morning prayer? It's definitely offered at dawn. Scholars say this hadith is not understood as some people have translated it, but it translates literally to Asbihu bis-subh, which means that extend your Fajr prayer until it's morning, until light has come. So it's not the translation has been translated to offer the morning prayer at dawn, because we can only offer morning prayer at dawn. This is the time. So it has no meaning. But the actual meaning is prolong your Fajr prayer until it's light. Which means that when you pray at dawn, don't pray for 5 or 10 minutes. No, extend your prayer until it's like half an hour. And this is the sunnah. He used to pray, alayhi salam, between 60 to 100 verses of the Quran in Fajr prayer. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet. To begin Fajr early, when it's dark, and to end prayer when it's light. And in one incident, Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, prayed al-Fajr, and it was just before sunrise he finished. He finished prayer just before sunrise. And the companions, his companions said, Abu Bakr, what was this? You almost extended your prayer until it was sunrise. So he said that if the sun rose, it wouldn't have found us sleepy. It would have found us praying. It would have found us praying. So this is a positive thing. It's not a negative thing. But the essential thing is when to begin your prayer. So if you start your prayer at the very beginning and you extend it until it's daytime, so there's no problem in that. And this is the doing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the four schools of thought, Al-Imam Malik, Shafi'i, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal, think that it is the best to pray it early in the morning, just after dawn. Abu Hanifa prefers that it is delayed. And the majority's opinion is the correct verdict in accordance to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The following hadith,
narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who prays a rak'ah of the Fajr prayer before the sun rises has offered the dawn prayer in its time. And he who prays a rak'ah of the Asr prayer before the sun sets has offered the afternoon prayer.
Okay, there's another version for Muslim.
Yeah, another version reported by Muslim. He said the same above hadith, narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, who narrated, sajada
prostration.
Sajda, prostration, instead of a rak'ah, prayer unit. And then he, Muslim, said, a sajda implies a rak'ah.
Okay. Now this hadith tells us that if a person succeeds in praying one rak'ah, or as in the version of Aisha, one sajda before sunset. Of course, what is the prayer before sunset, Noor?
The prayer before sunset. It's praying sunnah, maybe?
No. Zaki?
Asr prayer.
Asr prayer. Okay, so watch out. So the hadith tells us that if you delay Asr prayer for one reason or the other, for example, if you sleep over it, or if you were engaged, or if you had something that was so urgent, and if you forgot, and you just remembered before sunset, and you managed to pray one rak'ah, so the Prophet says that you have succeeded in praying Asr in its time. The time did not go. Though you finished the other three after the sun has set, but you're still, the Asr was done on time. Likewise, Fajr prayer. If you were engaged or delayed the prayer for one reason or the other, and you managed to pray one rak'ah before the sun rises, this also means that you have correctly prayed Fajr before the time ran out. Now, of course, this doesn't mean it's okay, but it tells us when it is not possible to be prayed afterwards. Why? I'll tell you why. Allah says that prayer has been timed. It was timed on us, which means that we should pray on time, because if we do not, then our prayer is invalid. Meaning, if I am sitting home watching a football match, and the football match runs from Asr till after Maghrib, and my wife says, come and pray Asr, and I say, shh, I'm watching the match, and I know that the team will lose, because this is inevitable. They will lose. Whenever I support someone and I'm not okay with Allah Azza wa Jal, we will all lose. So I insist on watching this game, and I watch the game, and it's 10 minutes before sunset. The game goes on. It's 2 minutes before sunset. The game goes on. It's sunset. Then I realize, and astaghfirullah, I have made a mistake. Let me go and pray. Can I pray Asr? No, I cannot. Why? Can't I make Qadha? No, you cannot. Why? Because you've skipped the time. The Prophet ﷺ says, whoever sleeps over a prayer, or forgets it, then he must pray it as soon as he remembers. There is no way else for him to compensate for it other than this. So it is a must for you if you forget or you sleep. But if you deliberately abandon salah until the following salah comes, you may not pray it. Even if you pray it 10 times, it will not suffice, and it's gone. Abu Malik has a question.
Well, my question, Sheikh, you just answered it. Well, I was going to ask, if you know anybody that leaves a prayer from laziness, they cannot, they cannot commit qada for that prayer?
No, they cannot. If they deliberately abandon prayer, they cannot pray it again. And Zaki has a question.
When we can qada the prayer?
You cannot. It's gone.
There is qada in prayer?
Qada is only when you sleep or you forget. Oh. Sometimes you're engaged in work, you're typing and doing, and all of a sudden, whoa, it's an hour after prayer time. I didn't realize it. And Allah knows that you're saying the truth. It happens. I tell you the best example that happens all the time with those who are used to praying in masjids. If you have this sunnah in you and you pray all the five prayers in masjid, then you're programmed to pray only in masjid. But for example, if you go to the hospital and you're stuck. You know, the doctor is operating on you or doing something, and you have to be there. And it's Maghrib time. Oh, okay, I'll try to wrap up. The doctor says a couple of minutes more. And it finishes in half an hour. You leave the hospital and you go back home and you go in and you, you know, relieve yourself, change and sit down waiting for Isha prayer. The Isha prayer calls and you go to pray Isha. At 9, 10 o'clock p.m. said, whoa, I didn't pray Maghrib. I completely forgot. Why? Because you didn't pray it in the masjid. You completely forgot about it. So now you can pray it because you forgot sincerely. But if you leave it intentionally, it's not acceptable. I'll give another example, though it's not our subject, yet it's a little bit related to it. A person stands on Mount Arafat on which date, Mustafa?
Dhul Hijjah.
Which date?
Date?
Which, 8th of Hijjah, 10th of Hijjah?
10th of Hijjah.
10th of Hijjah. You guys should have a scholarship and I'll send you to Mecca for pilgrimage on the account of whoever you wish, but not me, definitely.
On Fadi, the
on the 9th, the day of Arafah, the day of Arafah is on the 9th of Hijjah. 10th is Eid. 8 is the day of Tarwiyah. Okay, well, it happens to the best of us. Let's assume that someone comes to Arafah on the 9th and said, whoa, all these people, it's crowded, I can't find any place to park my car. Tell you what, I'll come a couple of days later. He comes a couple of days later, there's no one in sight. He said, wow, now I can stay for the whole day in Arafah and then go to Mina. And is this acceptable? No, because it's limited with the time. Allah has put a time frame. It begins here and it ends here. So if you come afterwards, goodbye. It doesn't count. Prayer is like that. If you don't pray within the time frame that was set by Allah Azza wa Jal, then your prayer is invalid. Well, I'll offer more sunnah. I'll do it. It's invalid. Okay, just I'll do it as qada. I'll just do it. It's not accepted. Don't do it. You don't have to do it. And this is the verdict or the choice of Ibn Taymiyyah. May Allah have mercy on his soul. And also the verdict of Sheikh bin Baz and Ibn Uthaymeen, they all have said it on this controversial issue, and that is why I know that you have a lot of questions. I'll try to go through them as quick as possible. We have 60 seconds left. Go ahead.
All right, right now somebody not, you know, he left the prayer of laziness on purpose. What, you know, what does he do to make up for that prayer?
If he skips prayer out of laziness, this is a major sin. It's one prayer. He just left Maghrib prayer. He didn't pray it until Isha prayer was called. And then he's sorry. What does he do? He repents to Allah, asks Allah for forgiveness, and prays voluntary prayer as much as possible to compensate. But still he has committed a major sin. I think you got 20 seconds.
A surgeon is performing an operation and he cannot leave the operation, and it starts like before Dhuhr and ends after Asr. What does he do?
Well, I'm afraid that we have to break. I'll answer your question, inshallah, right after the break. So stay tuned.
Back to the Prophet. Join Sheikh Amar in the program Back to the Prophet, wherein he teaches us practical lessons from the Prophet's life and how this can help us to overcome our challenges in the present.
We talk about the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, seeking guidance for ourselves. In the early days after the revelation of the Holy Quran, the Muslims were greatly persecuted, so much so that quite a few Muslims had to leave Arabia and migrate to Africa to live among Ahl Kitab, Christian people who followed the gospel of Christ.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Before the break, Brother Fadi had a question. Can you repeat your question again, please?
If a surgeon is performing an operation And for instance, this operation is a lengthy operation, taking up to 8 or 10 hours, and the time of Salat comes in, and he cannot perform it, because he cannot leave the operation, because there's a risk for the patient's life. So what does he do?
I believe that this is a hypothetical question, because usually in such long operations, you would have 3 or 4 surgeons next to you, operating with you, assisting you. To be humorous, change your profession, but then this wouldn't pay, because I know doctors charge a lot of cash. Yet, to answer your question, Allah says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, that fear Allah as possible as you can. So in this case, if a surgeon is unable to leave the operating theater because he's the only one operating, and there's a risk that a Muslim or a human being, his life is in jeopardy, then this is an excuse for him to continue. But as I said, I believe that usually there are 3 or 4 other surgeons that would take care. And it's exactly like, I tell you why it's hypothetical. Now, during the 8 or 10 hours of surgery, what happens if the guy has to answer the call of nature? And he has really to go and answer the call of nature. He had bad Chinese food the day before, and his stomach is, you know, making noises and sounds, and definitely he's going to leave the operating theater and go and answer the call of nature. So it's the same thing. Prayer does not take more than 4 to 5 minutes of your time. It refreshes your mind and concentration, makes you go back better than the way you left. Again, another question.
No, but usually there's a professor. He's in charge of the operation. He has a first, second, and third, up to fourth assistant. He's the one who, if there's a call of nature for him, then he takes a break. But for instance, the fourth assistant doesn't have the right to choose so. And he doesn't actually sometimes, and this, it's sad, but sometimes they don't pray. Not all surgeons pray. So if I'm, for instance, the fourth assistant, then he does not allow us to leave unless the surgery is finished.
Believe me, brother, whenever there's a will, there's a way. You can always talk to the professor, you can always talk to the physician, to the surgeons. Whenever there's a will, there's a way. And if it's a must, you got to leave everything and go. So prayer does not cost much time. All what you have to do is alternate. Tell him that this guy takes my place for 3-4 minutes and I'm back. Now, if things are as bad as you say and there is no way you can leave, then there is a possibility that you join Dhuhr to Asr, whether precede Asr or delay Dhuhr. And you can join 4 rak'ah and 4 rak'ah. This is a permission. And if, you know, worst thing happens and you cannot, and it's a matter of life or death, Islam tells you, you have to continue working, and this is a one shot every blue moon. It's not an everyday event that takes place, because if it's an everyday event, then you should change your profession seriously. But it happens once every 6 to 8 months, maybe, because of the timing and of the situation you are talking about. Coming back to the hadith before us, this is an issue of a difference between scholars. Now, to be able to pray the prayer on time, do I have to only make the bowing, the rukur, or do I have to finish the whole rak'ah, which is consisting of bowing and 2 prostrations and then standing up? Because when we hear Aisha says sajda, this means the whole thing, and rak'ah also can imply or mean only the bowing. It's not the full-fledged rak'ah. So what's the most authentic of all? The most authentic of all, that Jum'ah prayer, congregation, Fajr, and Asr, all are caught, all are considered to be made by catching 1 rak'ah, which is the bowing position. Which means that if I go to the mosque in Friday, how many rak'ahs do we have in Friday, Rushdie?
Pardon me?
How many rak'ahs do we have on Friday prayer?
Two rak'ahs.
So if I go to the mosque and the imam is bowing in the second rak'ah, if I say Allahu Akbar and I bow with him, this is considered to me as catching one rak'ah, which means after he finishes prayer, I can pray one other rak'ah and my prayer is considered to be Jum'ah, Friday. But if he raises his head and says, Sami Allahu liman hamida, and I could not catch him, and I joined the prayer after he raised his head, then there's no Friday for me. I have to pray four rak'ah as Dhuhr prayer. Abu Malik.
Sorry. I heard some people, I'm not sure if this is true or not, they said that if you don't catch the Fatiha, they didn't catch the rak'ah.
No, this is not true at all, because the Prophet ﷺ said that clearly. Whoever catches ruku', he catches the whole prayer. So if you, and the hadith of Abu Bakra also states that when he came to the masjid and they were all in the bowing position, in the ruku' position. So as soon as he entered the masjid and saw them bowing, he said, Allahu Akbar, and bowed. And walked while bowing until he reached the line and joined the congregation. So the Prophet ﷺ continued the prayer, and after he finished, he said, who did that? And the Prophet had the ability to see what's behind him. And this is something miraculous only for the Prophet ﷺ, when he used to make the lines and rows, he say that keep straight lines because I see you from behind. I have the ability. Of course, he doesn't have any cameras and he doesn't have any eyes, but Allah Azza wa Jal show those praying behind him to him, as Allah would show him things that we cannot see. Not that he is, you know, a $6 million man or whatever. No, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam can see what Allah shows him. So after prayer has ended, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, who did this? So Abu Bakr said, I did it, and I intended well, because I couldn't bear walking while you were bowing. How could I stand straight while you were in the bowing position? So the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, may Allah increase your carefulness for prayer and do not repeat that. Which meant that the rak'ah, if it was not acceptable because he did not recite the Fatiha, the Prophet would have told him, repeat it again because it's void. And this is one of the evidence that scholars use to say that Fatiha is not a must for those praying behind the imam. It's an issue of dispute. We will come to it, inshallah, later on. So now we understand that if we join the imam in rak'ah, this counts as one. If we join the imam in the ruku' position, in the bowing position, this counts as what, Zaki? This counts as a rak'ah, a full-fledged rak'ah, which entitles us to continue the prayer with the imam, and it's accepted as a congregation prayer. The following hadith, number 136.
Narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, no salat, meaning prayer, is to be offered after the morning prayer until the sun rises, or after the afternoon prayer until the sun sets. In another version of Muslim, there is no salat, meaning prayer, after the fajr, meaning morning prayer. Uqba ibn Amir, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated, there are three times at which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to forbid us to pray or bury our dead. When the sun begins to rise till it's fully up. When the sun is at its height at midday till it passes the meridian. And when the sun draws near to setting till it sets.
Okay. Now in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us about the times that we should not pray in. Let us get things straight up. We should not pray voluntary prayer, but obligatory prayer, there are no times for you not to pray them. So get this straight. I get people saying that, oops, I forgot to pray Dhuhr. And it's 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. This is a time where we denied to pray. So I have to wait until it's sunset. Is this acceptable? You may pray the 5 obligatory prayer any time of the day or night. There are no restrictions to that. Of course, providing that you did not leave them because of laziness.
Yeah.
You left them because of forgetfulness or of sleep. So this is the first part or issue that we should always pay attention to. Fadi.
And also if we're performing Umrah, and there's 2 rak'at we're supposed to do after Tawaf, if they come in the forbidden time, we're also supposed to prepare them, right?
Well, this is what we are supposed to go through after a while. And the same hadith is mentioned here. But what I'm talking about, there are certain times during the day when it's forbidden for us to pray. This rhymes, huh? There are certain times in the day when it's forbidden for us to pray. And here, in the first hadith of Abu Sa'id, it's mentioned 2 times. And the hadith of Uqba bin Amr, there are 3 times. So all in all, there are 5 times in the day. 2 times that are general and wide, and 3 times that are specific and short. So the wide times are right after Asr prayer until the sun sets. The second one is right after Fajr prayer until the sun rises a little bit, which is about 10 minutes after sunrise to 15 minutes. So these are 2 times. They are general. They are about 3-4 hours long, maybe less, a little bit less. The 3 times mentioned in Uqba ibn Amr's hadith are very specific. That is, when the sun starts to disappear or when the sun starts to rise. So this is a span of 5-10 minutes. And the last time, the 5th time, that is when the sun is exactly in the center of the sky, when things don't have any shadow at all. This is the time that it is completely forbidden for us to pray. 5 times. We need more time to explain this. Unfortunately, this is all the time we have for today's program. So until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.